Well, I mean, I would assume it's very well founded because it is referring to information by SIGA, the Special Inspector General for the Reconstruction of Afghanistan. This was set up during our time in Afghanistan as the international community by the US government to make sure that funds, arms, any support that the US government gave to anyone in Afghanistan would not be misused and cases of corruption, cases of diversion of aid would be discovered early on, and had made several, successful investigations and stopped money from flowing out. SIGA is still updating US Congress on a regular basis and still maintains an information basis of what's going on in Afghanistan. So I would assume this is very credible. It also fits within the wider picture. Obviously, no one really believed the Taliban when they said they wouldn't take any retributions. And there have, from the get-go, been reports that members of the former Afghan armed forces, of the special forces, of the intelligence services, of the police, all had been targeted. I think Human Rights Watch or Amnesty said about 100 cases that they could actually put a name and an execution to it. In addition, since there has been numerous reports that whenever the Taliban announced 50, 100 Islamic State fighters, the Islamic State Khorasan province, the affiliate of the Islamic State in Afghanistan, is still operating and conducting attacks against the Taliban, that some of those who get killed as alleged ISIS supporters are actually former government supporters. And so it's much more convenient to now call them terrorists. In this particular case, and I don't want to do my opening statement too long, but there are several elements that are important. In this particular case, this is unfortunately just a very sad result of the less than organized retreat of our forces from Afghanistan, because we left behind very important data, very important records of Afghans that helped us, a complete biometric data of every single Afghan, which originally was set up to make sure that nobody can cheat in the elections, but also meant that every Afghan can now be identified. And connecting the biometric data with those records is actually making it easier for the Taliban to put some kind of a target list and then really identify the individuals that they need, that they want to target without any doubt.
Hans, where was this biometric data left? You said it was left behind. Was it left in the, was it given to the Taliban? Was it left as some kind of, succession document or something?
Well, I mean, you have to imagine that, when the withdrawal was planned, it was not planned that the Taliban take over power. So this database already several years ago had been handed over to the Afghan government and the Afghan security forces. Because very originally, it started out as a database that connected biometric fingerprints and other information on IEDs. So ever there was an IED found, fingerprints were found, or biological material found, there was a DNA analysis, all of that was put into the database. And then the registration of Afghans with biometric identity cards was an add-on later. So it was started out as a security basis and then started out as an election basis. This was handed over to the Afghan government long before the it was under Afghan control. And it was just simply not, my understanding is, it was not destroyed when we withdraw, because it was not no longer under our control.
Yeah, and I suppose we need to remember too the circumstances of that hasty situation. Afghanistan's President Ghani just left. He just left and just abandoned the country. And I assume that the panic that set in perhaps opened the door for this kind of thing, correct?
Yeah, once things started slipping very fast, and then one after the other of the power brokers in the country that were part of the government abandoned the country. Ghani was only the last one in a string of very powerful men that left the country. It just broke down so fast that really necessary things, such as destroying this database, were no longer possible.
So, question about the Taliban actually taking this information and using it to track down people. This seems to suggest to me that there is no control, at least from the head of the government, over this process, because if there were, and you would think that there would be some rational thinking about this, using this to target these people, to track them down, is going to make the Taliban look even worse on the international stage and perhaps bring problems for the Taliban attempt to run this country. But then there's also this idea that perhaps they don't care. Is that right?
Well, I would say they've long given up caring. Otherwise, the things they done as far as women rights, as far as human rights, as far as freedom of speech is concerned, which are all distant memories in Afghanistan these days, right, would not have happened. They do, however, understand that our moral tolerance for hungering, dying Afghans is always going to be far more limited than their moral tolerance, where they really don't have any qualms of Afghans dying. For the last 20 years, verifiably by UN data, the Taliban had been mostly busy killing Afghan civilians in the fight against the international forces and the Afghan security forces. They were the most victims were civilians, and most of the civilians, by a measure of a large measure, I think more than 90%, were killed by the Taliban in all different ways that were unnecessary, like pleasure parade IEDs were. People just get blown up by stepping on that, and those being purposefully positioned at key roads between civilian centers to make sure that people can't move around. So they haven't all of a sudden in August 2021 regained their love for their countrymen that they were so busy killing for the last 20 years. But they do understand that we, and I agree with this, have a moral obligation, we, the international community, have a moral obligation after 20 years of being in the country and in part running it, that we can no longer just abandon the Afghans. And therefore, there was always going to be humanitarian aid flowing in, whatever the Taliban are doing.
So what are they doing to the people, to your knowledge, that they're trying to track down once they find them? Have you found any evidence that they are actually finding people?
Well, it very much seems so, because, I mean, there are continuous, luckily only small, but that could also be due to the fact that we no longer have a wide net of reporters in the country, reports that people get arrested, they get at least tortured and interrogated, and in many cases actually then extrajudicially executed or get put in some sham Taliban court that then, within a minute declares them heretics or traitors, and then they get executed. So yes, it is going on. Luckily, not yet at a large scale. But this particular issue here means it just makes it easier and more efficient for them to find those people.
The women. This is a slightly different track, but you mentioned the Taliban's treatment of women, and nobody believed when the Taliban took over this government that they were going to follow all of the generous statements that they made about making life for women better and education and all that. I've heard lots of reports about them actually not doing that. Nobody expected they would. Very few people, I should say. But how is that going? What are you hearing about how they're treating women and their approach to women in their society?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, this discussion about Taliban 2.0 and the Taliban having learned anything, they weren't completely lying. Every single statement they made was followed by comma within the confines of Sharia, and that meant their interpretation of Sharia. So in their mind, they are not actually restricting the rights of women; they're protecting women from the bad society in which they could possibly fall into. And they should be housewives and mothers, and that's their role according to their understanding of Sharia. And therefore, why would you need secondary education? So we have primary education. In some provinces, even that gets suspended for women. They have largely no secondary education anymore. And tertiary, i.e. university education, is absolutely now banned for women. There is a discussion that some among the Taliban officials, I would not like to call this a government because it doesn't have a legitimacy or is recognized by anyone, that some within those power brokers in Kabul would like to have taken a different path because it would make their work easier on pressuring governments to actually recognize them as the authority in Afghanistan. But at the end of the day, the way the Taliban's always have functioned and the way they function today is that the final decision on these matters are always made by the supreme leader, who's not in Kabul, but in Kandahar, who is a fairly religious hardliner, and he simply stopped this. So there may be some more inverted commas moderate Taliban, which make a utilitaristic argument why this would be necessary to treat women better. But they not don't have the power, as they didn't have the power in the 1990s. So we had this discussion before about moderate Taliban, about factions within the Taliban, about these poor government ministers in Kabul who cannot get headway because they got stopped by Mullah Omar at that time. So strike Mullah Omar, set Haibatullah, and we have the precisely same discussion that we had 20 odd years ago when the Taliban were last in power. It's because the movement hasn't changed. The structure hasn't changed. The way it does function hasn't changed. And as I always pointed out, I think also once or twice in interviews here, the Taliban spokesperson in the first press conference in Kabul after taking over the power spoke one and only one very true sentence when he answered the question whether they have changed and whether they have learned anything in the last 20 years. He said, if you're talking about our religion and our ideology, of course we did not change. So from that follows that they're not going to act now or anytime later differently from what they've done in the 1990s, which includes their relationship with terrorism and their involvement in the drug trade as well.
Dr. Hans Jacob Schindler, Senior Director at the Counter-Extremism Project, JJ Green, WTOP News.